In the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In the Gospel of this blessed Sunday, we see the flee of the Holy Family to the land of Egypt. And it's a common theme throughout the whole Bible that we learn that we should not stand in front of evil, but we should flee. And maybe this is easy when the evil comes from outside, when we can identify the enemy and we know that we should not, as we are taught, to be taken into this kind of fight. But what about the evil that's from inside? Maybe here there is still some difficulty. And the evil from inside, by this I mean the evil thoughts. This tool that the enemy uses every day against all of us, waves after waves of evil thoughts that tempt us and push us away from God. There is no one who is immune against this kind of war. And from this one also, we need to learn how to flee the evil thought. Let us see why we should flee it and in which way, because this is something that we all need to learn in our warfare against the enemy and his snares. We need to flee evil thoughts simply because the mind is where the battle begins. This is a pattern that's common among all of the sins. Everything starts with a thought, an evil thought, something knocking over our minds, something wants to come in. And then once we open the door, what will happen is this thought will generate a passion. Once we let the thought in, it will keep spinning. Once we meditate and allow the thought to grow, then it will come and create emotions, a passion. This passion will lead us to a certain desire. It doesn't matter which thought is it, but it will go through the same process. If it is a lustful thought, the desire then is to fulfill it by committing fornication. If the thought of envy, then this will create a passion of hatred and a desire for maybe taking something that's not mine. If the thought of self-pity, this will create a passion of feeling the grief, how I was insulted, how I was treated in a certain way, and then the desire is for me to retaliate. Then this desire, once it takes over us, it will lead us to commit a sin. In every step of this process, the more we advance, the less the will be. At the beginning, maybe it's easier to resist, but the more it goes, then our will get weakened over and over. Once we dare to sin, then by this, we are allowing a habit to develop. The sin repeatedly, one after time, then we learn something. And this becomes one of the things that we keep on fighting because we developed a pattern, a habit. After the habit comes the guilt and the feel of despair that I have been trying over and over all these years. Unfortunately, it's not working. And then this guilt and despair will make us to be more vulnerable for more evil thoughts. And the process goes on and on and on and on. This is something we need to learn. Things start from the thought, the evil thoughts, and develop into what we see here as something that's like a pattern of defeat. So we need to resist because thoughts are not going to stay where they are. They are going to develop. Always this is the case. We also need to resist and flee evil thought because it is easier to win the battle at the door. Cain, when he offered his sacrifice, it did not please God. This generated some kind of bad thoughts in his mind about envying his brother and pitying himself, and this created this passion that I want to get rid of my brother. Every time I will see him, I will remember that God accepted him and resisted and did not accept my offering. God told him the key to win the battle. He told him, If you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. You should rule over the sin as far as the sin is at the door, at the level of the thoughts. Do not open the door, because once you open it, it's very hard to resist this sin. Definitely, it will take over you. This is exactly what happened. Cain did not heed the advice from God. He allowed this thought to grow and to go into this cycle that we just mentioned. He was taken into the sin of hatred, and because he could not resist, it led him to kill his brother. So now we know why we should resist, why we should flee, then how we should flee the thought. The winning strategy is to flee. Do not say that I'm going to harbor the thoughts and I will debate with it and I will resist. It's not going to work. It never worked this way. The winning strategy is to flee. I have to recognize the pattern, how things start. Usually, after some time, we all can define what is the main evil thought that I am tempted with, and we can identify a pattern, how it starts. I know that when I allow myself to go into this area, I know this is the beginning. This is where I open the door. I know from here things are going to escalate and get me to sin. I have also to flee what seems as innocent at the beginning. Not all evil thoughts come clear. Usually they tend to come in innocent form. Examine something like lustful thoughts. Maybe you will start with a thought of, maybe I admire a person. Maybe I feel like this person is attentive to me in a certain way, and I appreciate that, and then keep on thinking more and more and more, then it will take me into a lustful thought. Maybe hatred will start in my mind by saying or accepting the thought of, why this person is dealing with me this way. I noticed her today in the church and she did not say hi. Then we develop into, maybe she wants to insult me. Maybe she meant it. And then we add things together. Yeah, I remember last week when I said hi, she didn't answer back. I think she has something against me. And we keep on and on and on. And what started as innocent question about why she didn't say hi develops into a full-blown bad thought of hatred and sense of like grudge. And I want to do something in order that I return the insult. We have to flee the process from the beginning. We can know and learn by experience. When things start this way, it will end up where we do not want to be. St. Paul says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's a battle to bring something into captivity, as if like recognizing the bad thought, you just put it in prison and lock it in. So the winning strategy is always to flee from the beginning. Secondly, we have also to understand that there is a power in prayer. The power in prayer is, prayer will take our minds to holy places, to meditating upon God and His kingdom, to meditate upon His forgiveness and what He has done to us. This will keep our minds busy in something that's holy. Thanks be to God, our minds cannot do double thoughts at the same time. We are either consumed in bad thoughts or consumed in prayers. And by prayer, I mean consistent and long prayer. The prayer that I stand and I turn things in 5 minutes in order that to get done and check it that I did it, this is not the prayer that can guard my thought against evil thoughts, guard my mind against evil thoughts. The power of instant prayer. This prayer is like an arrow that goes immediately to heaven. The prayer of, oh my Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. And I keep on repeating once I feel I'm tempted with a certain kind of thought. This instant prayer saved many, and we learned this from the fathers. The people who keep on saying, Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy. Oh Lord, help my weakness. Oh Lord, cast away from my mind these evil thoughts. This helps a lot if we learn and we master this skill. that we are, our minds are always elevated into what's holy and what's pleasing to God. In order also to be able to overcome the evil thoughts, we have to guard the senses. We all know that the senses are the window for the brain. Our eyes is the window for the brain, also my ears. Everything I see, everything I hear will get into. The mind is the lab. Put input in it, it will get you something. He will mix it into something. So the more of bad images, unholy images that we allow it in, the more the lab is going to generate evil thoughts more and more. And there is a danger in the image. The image, you cannot take it away. If we have even a drug in our system, our metabolism, maybe by time the body can get rid of it. By treatment, our body can clear this drug out. But what about the image? There is no therapy to clean bad images. There is nothing that we can put inside and immediately it will take the images away. Unfortunately, the images last. In order for us to be able to acquire pure thoughts, we need to resist the temptation to go over bad sites and looking at images that we know that it is going to generate bad thoughts. Job the righteous says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? He made a covenant. And by a covenant means it's something that's obliging them. It's not something like an agreement. It's a covenant with my eye. Why then should I look upon a young woman? We still can reverse the pattern. We still can make the covenant. We can start, but the sooner the better. The sooner we get into this covenant, then our thoughts eventually will turn to become pure as God wants them to be. Not only we struggle for not to acquire bad thoughts or bad images or a negative input, but also we feed the mind with positive images, positive input. The positive input, I can define spiritual readings as the best source of positive input. The more we read about the sayings of the fathers, the biography of the saints, the more we introduce good input, the lab here will start to think of something holy, meditate upon the life of this saint, how this person conduct himself. Not only so, the spiritual readings will also generate some kind of spiritual fire inside our hearts. We will long to be like those people. It's always pleasant to read about the sayings of the saints or the outcome of their conduct. How did they conduct it themselves? How they were able to overcome temptation? It's very pleasant. Unfortunately, now we are in the age where reading is declining. We all would like to see the image. I want to see something. It's very hard for me to read. If we learn, if we come again to start reading, I am positive that this is going to clear our minds, will provide positive input, and by this our mind will start to generate pure and holy thoughts. To resist the evil thoughts as well, we have to avoid idleness. I think we all know this by heart, but till now, we sometimes are consumed in doing nothing. We are very busy, but while we are saying, I'm very busy, we look at what we are doing and then where is the outcome? What is the results? I'm very busy, but exactly what did I achieve in this day? It's a wise saying by Gandhi, and he said, purity of mind and idleness are incompatible. There is no way we are idle, doing nothing, just going from the TV into the internet and vice versa, and we can say that I'm struggling against the bad thought. In order to be able also to flee the evil thought and overcome them, we have to expose the thoughts in confession. This part is very important. The more I keep the thought closed and in darkness, the more these thoughts will have power over me. Thoughts are very powerful, can push us to do things that we do not want to do. The only way to weaken the pressure of the thought is to expose them in confession. Unfortunately, Satan tries to convince us, you cannot say what you are thinking in to Abuna. This is very ugly. You cannot share it. And we feel like I can't. The more I keep this hidden, the more the thoughts will overcome me and rule over my will. The more I expose them, no matter how ugly they are, actually, the less they are going to push me to do something that I do not want to do. Scripture tells us in the book of Proverbs, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Covering the sin will never make us to overcome it and prosper over it. The last point in the war against the evil thoughts, do not be scared. Sometimes we have actual imaginations that we ourselves are disguised from them. My brethren, they are not ours. Do not be scared when you have something that you say, how can I think this way? Satan tries to convince us that this evil thought that came to you while you are praying the liturgy is from you, because you are an impure person. That's why you thought this way. It's not from you. We have to believe this, otherwise we will be terrified. Otherwise we will keep on covering the thoughts. Don't be troubled with it, and you have to understand that. You cannot hinder birds from hovering over your head, but surely you can forbidding them from making a nest. Thoughts will come from everywhere. All kinds of thoughts. Even sometimes we are surprised how my mind got all of this together into this thing. But you are not responsible for this. What we are responsible for is when I harbor the thought and becomes mine. I meditate upon it and I take pleasure into thinking of it over and over and over and over. And I feel like this is something pleasant. I just enjoy this. By then, I'm going to go into this cycle where the thought will create a passion, and the passion will create a desire, and desire will make me to sin, and repeated sin will make a habit, and guilt and despair will lead me even to evil thoughts. We are not responsible for just thoughts coming from everywhere. We are responsible when I harbor and I embrace the thoughts and they become mine. Today the lesson is to flee evil. Easy to flee evil from outside, but the more difficult is to flee the evil from inside. The evil thoughts, the attacks that take place over all of our minds every single day. Still there is hope. We still can do it if we believe and if we do the steps that we just mentioned. To flee from the beginning, the power of prayer, to guard the senses, to provide positive input, to avoid idleness, to expose the thoughts and confessions, and not to be scared or terrified by them. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.